Tonight I am interested, for some time I have been, in my faith in God being increased. We're in a time of darkness in the world around us, and not just darkness, but it speaks about gross darkness covering the people. And you know what, I don't want that to be a part of my life. Amen. I want to have faith in God. And I was thinking tonight, how can I have that built in my life? I want it built in my life. And I was thinking of a verse, we call it the Beatitudes. There's a verse that says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." You know, for me to have faith in God, I need to be able to see Him. And sometimes, if we're not careful, we can go through every day and we really don't see God. And yet He's all around us, if we could slow down and recognize Him. So I have an area that I'd like to share with you tonight. I mentioned it Wednesday night. But the power of God in just the words that He speaks, and what a difference it made. I was thinking about those four words that He spoke. Let there be light. Yes. And I'd like to go back to that tonight. Because, you know, really, the first chapter of Genesis should build our faith to a real high level. That the God of heaven didn't need material to work with. All He did was had to speak the word. I was thinking of the very first verse. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You know what? If I'll just have faith for that one verse, I'm ahead of the majority of the scientists in this world today. Just to be able to quietly understand, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And it says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And the third verse says, God said, let there be light. And there was light. First job that God did in the creation of the first chapter of Genesis, there needs to be some light. Need to put some light on the matter. And you know what? In our lives, the first thing we need is some light put on the situation. I think about on my job, I do maintenance work, and we'll go into a mechanical room maybe to work on the fan unit or something. You know, the very first thing I need there is get the lights on. Let's be able to recognize what we're working on, what's here. The very first thing we need is light. And God recognized that. It's just sometimes I think it would do us good to just sit down sometime, shut the world out. Yeah. I was singing that song number 109. I'd like to look at that first verse. Alone in some secure retreat, the sky o'ershadows me. Yes. Are you able to get a quiet time in your life, in your busy day every day, that you could just shut everything else out? Put your life in neutral and just quietly think about God. This says, alone in some secure retreat, the sky o'ershadows me. All nature smiles so soft and sweet. I'm thinking, Lord, of Thee. You know, in our busy schedules around us, we need to find some time to quietly think about God. Because when I look and I start spending some time thinking about it, what must it have been when God took a look at Genesis 1 and 1, when He created the heaven and the earth? The earth was without form and void. Needed some attention for life to be able to inhabit this. And so He starts out with doing it. And I was thinking, I mentioned this Wednesday night, but if you look at some of the pictures that are taken of outer space, it almost reminds me of what it must have been here before God started speaking to things. It just took His word to make the change. And you know what? If I'll recognize that in nature around me and I get some real faith built up in that, I'll also then start being able to recognize, you know what? All He's got to do is speak to this situation in my life and all the difference can be made. I was thinking about this God and what He can speak, the power of Jesus and what He could speak. when they were there in the boat on the storm and the disciples thought, this is the end of us. We're going to wake him up. Don't you care that we perish? He wasn't even worried about it. Because you know what? He was the one that separated the dry land with his father way back there when he brought the dry land, caused the dry land to appear. And all he had to do was speak to the storm, peace be still. The power of the spoken. And the power that happened. What happened that time there in the third verse? God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw the light, that it was good, and he divided the light from the darkness. Made a separation there. This is going to be daytime. This is going to be night. Fifth verse, he called the light day, the darkness he called night, the evening and the morning were the first day. He spoke light into existence. Now, and this was not when he created the sun. This is not when he created the moon. He just spoke it, and here it is. And it's also separated. There's a verse of a song. I'd like for us to sing it. It's in song number 43. The first and the third verse. Our Father's wondrous works we see in the earth and sea and sky. He rules o'er all in majesty from his royal throne on high. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Reigning now above on his throne of love. What a mighty God we serve. He maketh worlds by his command, weighs the mountains great and high. He meets the waters in his hand, spans the lofty starlit sky. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Reigning now above on his throne of love. What a mighty God we serve. Then I'd like for us to go to song number 56. And there's a couple verses there. Start with verse number 2. Oh, look at the universe that he has made. See the twinkling worlds on high. Alone on his fiat are these mighty planets stayed. Then we know he can never lie. Oh, trust in God. Oh, trust in God. Oh, trust in God. Oh, trust in the faithful God. The word he hath spoken shall forever stand. It will never pass away. By it were the heavens made, the sea and all the land. Then we'd be the same today. Oh, trust in God. Oh, trust in God. Oh, trust in God. Oh, trust in the faithful God. I'd like for us to look at Psalms 33 and starting with the sixth verse. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made. That's all he needed, just by the word of the Lord were the heavens made. And all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. What all are you able to accomplish with your words? You know, if I was going to speak and say, if I just in this room said, I want the lights to turn out, I can say it all I want to. Unless you go to the switch, nothing's going to happen. But here it says, by the breath of his mouth, all the host of them. He gathered the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. May all the world stand in awe of him. And if they don't, I want to do it. I want to be able to do it in my life, recognizing how great God is. I'd like to go next to a verse in Hebrews, in the 11th chapter. We need to have faith, and I want mine to grow. Hebrews 11 and 3. I love just these first four words. Through faith, we understand. Because you know what? If I took this first chapter of Genesis and said, okay, I can scientifically prove how he did all this, can't do it. These four words can do it, though. By faith, I understand that the worlds were framed. I understand how the worlds were framed. And a scientist say, okay, explain it to me. I've been doing a scientific method on it, trying to figure it out. I understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Yes. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. He didn't need some material to get started with. You know, I could build a house, or somebody could build a house, if Home Depot would deliver the lumber. God needed no material. The things that we see, they were not made of things which do appear. What a mighty God we serve. There was another promise that God made in Genesis. He made this to Noah. Genesis in the 8th chapter. Where he told them the seas for the seasons, yes. Seed time and harvest. Yes. Where is that? That's in the 8th chapter of Genesis. It'll not stop. Okay, 8:22. While the earth remaineth, and you know what? I could say this and it wouldn't make much difference. But the God of heaven that spoke and light appeared without a sun to do it. He said, while the earth remains, there's going to be seed time and harvest. There'll be cold and heat. There'll be summer and winter. And also day and night shall not cease. We have around us people that don't believe in God that are real worried about global warming. They're worried about so many different things. The environment is going to be ruined. Well, you know what? I believe we need to take care of the things that God has given us. But I think the very first thing we need to realize is God gave it to us to use. Not to abuse, but he gave it to us to use. And the God of heaven that spoke and light appeared, he also has the power to replenish anything that is depleting. We're finding more and more that there's so much. You know, before we've been buying gas from other countries and feeling like there's a desperate situation. And we find out that, you know, underneath us in America, we got more than we could use for a long, long time if we could just get it out. God is able to take care of us. There is another promise here. 2 Peter in the 3rd chapter. And this was one where I think people were intending to cause us to lose faith in God. But instead, it builds mine. It says, knowing this first, 2 Peter 3:3. That there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. You know, that's almost in itself a testimony of who God is. He spoke, it came into existence, and it has continued ever since then. For God to start in the first chapter, the first few verses, and he starts putting everything in order for us to be able to exist on this planet. The seasons, spring, summer, fall, and winter, what causes that change? How is it that it's so hot in the summertime and it's so cool in the wintertime? And other places, it's just unbearably cold in the wintertime. And so I just started reading. Now, you know, children here probably studied it just recently in school, but I've been gone for a long time, so I had to go back and review it again. So I started looking at this. This is God spoke this into existence. We have a whole lot of people today say, there's not a God. There's not a God. All this just happened. And it can explain how it happened. And to be able to wow you, they'll put a few billion years on it. It is when this happened. But look at this one. It says, every 24 hours, the earth completes one full rotation on its axis. And the axis is at a 23.5 degree angle to the sun. Now, what does that matter? You know, why wasn't it straight up and down? And it says that axis, the north one, will point to a pole star. There's a certain star. God set this all up in place. It didn't just happen. And so it says, besides rotating on its axis every day, which gives us night and day, the earth is traveling at 67,000 miles per hour in an orbit around the sun that will take 1 year to complete. In this annual orbit, the earth will have traveled 584 million miles. And you look at this, and that just happened? No, there was a great God in heaven. All he did was spoke one day, and the earth, first verse, heavens and the earth, in the beginning, God created them. It says, on the fourth day, he spoke, and the sun came into existence. He spoke, and the moon came into existence. And I look at this. It said, it's the tilt of the earth and the elliptical orbit that brings the season. A period of time each year when the northern hemisphere is leaning closer to the sun. A period of time each year when the southern hemisphere is leaning closer to the sun, and it gives summertime to those. A period of time when sun shines about equally on both, and we have spring and autumn. And I look at this, and can we say, oh, it just happened. Just happened that, you know, you think about, on our days, we've had some days where it's maybe about 115 degrees. Just a few years ago, it seemed like it was many, many days. I'd go home in the afternoon and feel like I was walking in an oven when I'd get out of the truck. Well, you know what? All God would have had to do was let the sun be a little closer to the earth, and it'd be all over for us. But God set it just right for human habitation. And it said on here, our longest day is June the 21st. The shortest day is December 21st. And here was a little something that said, why isn't December the 21st the coldest day of the year since it's the shortest? It said, with the tilt of the earth, the days following the shortest day, the heat escaping the earth at night still exceeds the heat that arrives in the daytime. So it continues, the earth continues to lose heat. And so we have within, it says it might take it a month or two that we start having a little more heat in a day than we have cold for the night. And there was something else that it said. And all this to me, anyhow, it speaks of God. Yes. It said, even then, the warming trend is gradual because it takes a long time to warm the oceans. It says the oceans are what the buffer is for us. Otherwise, it said, without the oceans, the spring and the fall seasons would be very short, and they would be in between extremely hot summers and cold winters. And some people will say, we've studied this thing out, and it just happened to happen. Well, I've got a song that says otherwise. Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder,
thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
You know what causes other people to never see God at all? Should cause the Christian to be alert, to pick up signals. I see God in this. I was looking at this God of heaven after he created daylight and the sun to cause it to continue. You know what? God was still in control of all things. There are times when God says, I want there to be darkness, and darkness came. I'd like for us to look at God for just a little bit. Exodus 10, 10th chapter, and the 21st verse. You remember in all the plagues that God sent on the Egyptians, here was one of them, the plague of darkness. This is the God of heaven that when he spoke, light came. This is the God of heaven that when the sun's continuing to shine, helping other people, God can bring about a darkness. It says in the 21st verse of the 10th chapter of Exodus, the Lord said to Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even a darkness which may be felt.
Yes.
And God was able to take this section of area and turn it dark when it should be daytime. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven. There was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But look at this. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. This is the God of heaven that he spoke. He didn't need the sun. Okay, the sun, I got to get it, move it. I'm going to try it today at this distance. We'll see if it's too far or too close, and I'll adjust it. But he spoke, and it worked right at the beginning. Here he causes there to be darkness in Egypt. And just right over here in the land of Goshen, they had light in all their dwellings. There was another place just after this in the 13th chapter of Exodus and in the 21st verse. And the Lord went before them, the children of Israel now are leaving Egypt, went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them in the way, and by night a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and by night. This is the God of heaven. He made it to be able to be dark at night, but he needs them to be able to have light at night. So it says he gives them a pillar of fire to give them light. Well, then in the next chapter, 14 and 19, he does something else. The children of Israel are now afraid because the Egyptians are coming up on them. And they're faced with the Red Sea out in front of them. And what can God even do for them? And the 14th verse says, the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And it went down in the 19th verse. The angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. The thing that God had given for the children of Israel to be able to lead them in the way they should go, now it moves behind them to be a protection for them. 20th verse, it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light. The same thing on one side was darkness. On the other side, it was given light for the children of Israel to cross over. Gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And I look at this, and I think about, is God not able to take care of the little problems that I have in my life? When it seems like, boy, this thing is just way too big for me. I need to go back and realize, you know what? It was just four words that God spoke and light came into existence. There's another place. You remember, this is in Joshua, in the 10th chapter, that God works for them. You remember where they had the battle going on, and Joshua needs some more time. This is in Joshua 10 and 12 through 14. And where the sun's going to be going down, and he hadn't finished his job yet. And I look at that, and the sun stood still. You know, here it is, God's got it working right now. You always hear that little saying, don't fix something that isn't broke. Well, he's got it going in its orbit. It's doing exactly what it needs to do. But here are some of his children needing some help. They need light to continue for a little while. And so he stops the sun for about a whole day and just lets it stay there and continue to give them light. All of these things to me started telling me about a God in heaven, that he started it and he is able to finish it. I would like for us for a little bit, I did some reading about the sun. When we look in the scripture in Genesis 1, he took care of it in one little verse. He spoke and the sun came into existence. He spoke and the moon came into existence. But look at this, what happened in all this. It says the sun is the closest star to the earth. The diameter of the sun is 864,000 miles. Not too far from a million miles if you were to go around the sun. Comparing that to the Earth's diameter is 7,913 miles. Said if you were to just pop a little top on the sun and start dropping Earth's in there, you could put a million in there and still have some room. You know what? We kind of start limiting God sometimes. We say, yeah, but I got this big problem. I got this big thing to take care of. God set the sun. He didn't set it. He didn't test. You know, we have research and development because it's a man that's doing it. And he will test something. I remember them talking about when the light bulb was, they were trying to invent the light bulb. And try this and it doesn't work, so I try something else. God didn't have to do it. God didn't try, okay, I wonder if 10,000 miles would be the right place to put it. Oh no, that was way too hot. I'm going to move it over. No. He spoke, and here's what it did. 93 million miles from the earth was just right for where he wanted it. 10,000 degree surface temperature is just right for how he wanted it. The God of heaven. Okay. Scientists have, they took a look at that, and they have spent millions of dollars studying all this that we're trying to work on tonight. And they're working on it right now. Here's what they have. At 4.6 billion years old, the sun has already burned itself about halfway out. It's something, you know, if you're running low on something to worry about, here's something. It's 4.6 billion years old right now, and it's used up half of its store of hydrogen. They have it figured that it should last about another 5 billion years before we have some major, major problems. So that's 10 billion years right there. You know, we hear crusades saying we need to crusade for this. And I wonder, well, when will they say, you know what, we've got a crusade for the sun? You don't ever hear about that. There's nothing we could do about it anyhow. And on top of that, it wouldn't work with the global warming problem that we're having right now. The sun's giving us too much trouble as it is. And I look at this, when God steps in, you know, man's figuring about it looks just pretty flimsy. I'd like to go to another verse, Psalms, in the 8th chapter. Because I tell you, men are spending a lot of time trying to figure this out. And I wonder, where would we be as a human race if we had started, if scientists began with Genesis 1, and they said, okay, we understand that God created it. We understand that there's been about 6,000 years passed since then, and all this has happened since then, and we work from that. You know, I believe God is interested in people being able to learn more about the universe, because I believe he had hoped that it would cause their thoughts to go toward him. Well, look at this one in Psalms 8 and 3. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. You know what? We all see it. What does it do for people? The majority, when they see it, you know, they're seeing how it's depleting. And we need to join some crusades to save the earth. This one said, when I see it, what does it make me think about? Fourth verse, what is man that thou art mindful of him? What is the son of man that thou visitest him? God is well able to take care of the things that he created. You know what? They have continued on, and he says it will continue on. There'll be seed time and harvest. I look at the Farmer's Almanac, and I love to be able to take a look at it, because you know what? The Farmer's Almanac has a picture of God in it, because it will tell me that through this next year, here's what hour, here's what minute the sun is going to rise and the sun is going to set. Well, whoever wrote that Farmer's Almanac, he must be really smart. Oh, no. He's just started learning how to track what God is doing and how consistent what God does is. For people to be able to tell us there will be a full eclipse at this time, years from now, there will be a full eclipse. How do they know that? You know, we start thinking, oh, that man, he's really smart. No, man knows that for all these years, God set something in motion, and it will continue, just like what we saw there in 2 Peter 3. Those people that said, oh, this thing has just continued just like it was from the beginning of time. You know, they were trying to do that to discredit that it's coming to an end one day. If anything, that's a picture of who God is, that he has allowed it to continue that way. When I consider all those things, what I wanted to do is for me to realize, wow, with what he has done, what is man that you're mindful of him?
Yes.
I thought of another one. At the same time that he said for the sun to begin, he also spoke the moon into existence. He said for the one to be the greater light, the other one to be the lesser light. And when I looked at that one, it says, the moon is 238,000 miles from the earth. It has no light of its own. It only reflects what the sun gives it. And it says, if there was not a way for us to send a satellite or something out there to check it, we have never seen but one side of the moon ever. It's not like it spins and I see one side today, another side tomorrow. They had to send a probe or something on the other side for us to even get pictures of what the other side of the moon is. And I look at that, God created it for a purpose. Now they went to trying to figure out about the moon. I spent some time on it. Here's what they gave us. The moon is thought to have formed about 4.5 billion years ago, not long after the earth. It says there are several hypotheses for its origin. You know, it's going to take several before you figure out how God was able to do it. It says the most widely accepted explanation is that the moon formed from the debris left over after a giant impact between Earth and a Mars-sized body called Theia. Now, that would be something. Something the size of Mars hit the Earth, and from it came the moon. A perfect round ball, just the right distance to give us some good light. But they say it happened from something else. And it says this, I read today, 18 months prior to a 1984 conference on lunar origins, this man, Jeff Taylor, challenged his fellow lunar scientists. He told them, you have 18 months before this conference. Go back to your Apollo data. Go back to your computer. Do whatever you have to do, but make up your mind which way this thing's going to be. Don't come to this conference unless you have something to say about the moon's birth. You know what? Genesis 1 would have fixed them all up. It says, then the conference came, and they decided that the giant impact hypothesis, it emerged as being the most popular. And they said, while it may explain many things, There are still a lot of unresolved questions that involve the moon's composition. You know what? There will always be a lot of questions because God just spoke it into existence. And we're trying to leave God out of it and be able to figure it out. It's kind of like when I was in school and they used to have formulas for you to figure out a problem. You know what? You leave out one portion of that and you'll never come to the right answer. You know what? Mankind, when he leaves God out of it, you can count on it. He'll never come up with the right answer to that. And so here I am tonight wanting to have my faith increased in God. Tomorrow morning when the sun comes up and you remember that it's 93 million miles away and it's just the right distance because God said it. There are people, and we find some people that don't believe. And I'd like to take a look at where we are with that. In Romans, in the first chapter, and in the 20th verse. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, you know what? All of us have had an opportunity to get to know God in the things that he has created around us. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. But they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and they changed the glory of an uncorruptible God into an image like to corruptible man, to birds, to four-footed beasts, to creeping things. And it says, wherefore God gave them up. Yes. You know, because they were not able to recognize God in all the things around them, he gave them up. I look at that, and you remember also in Thessalonians, where because they did not receive a love for the truth, God allowed them to be able to believe a lie. And I look at that happening in the world around us. Because people decide there is no God, not able to see a God in the things around us, he allows them to believe a lie. Put out whatever theory you want to about how the world came into existence. I thought about Darwin's theory, evolution. How many people have accepted that theory over God's word in all these years that have passed. And what does it say in Romans 3:3 for us? What if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Because more and more people are saying, I don't believe there is a God. Is that going to affect my belief in him? It says, God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. For me to be able to have a faith in God that, you know what, it doesn't matter if they take a poll and say, you know what, 90% of the people say there is no God. It won't make any effect. I see God every day in the things around me. You remember when the disciples, when Jesus was going along with them, and he took a look at the fig tree and there was no fruit on it. It wasn't time for fruit. But they said he cursed the fig tree. He said, there will be no fruit on you from now on. And you remember when they walked back by and the disciples told him, how quick this thing has dried up. And his response to them was, and I think it's his response to us today, have faith in God. Yes. Understand God's in control. If he wants to speak to a fig tree, he can dry it up right there. He's in control of it all. Well, this light, what got me to thinking about this is, this was the natural light. This is the sunlight that we see. But I want to tell you about one more in closing. It's in 2 Corinthians. This one really, for my eternal destiny, is more important than the natural. 2 Corinthians, and this is one that I also want to look at out in the future. For God, 2 Corinthians 4:6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, this same God that spoke and light appeared without a sun, and then a few days later, he created the sun to continue giving light. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, he hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And we will find for all the scriptures we read about natural light, we will also find there was spiritual light that God desires us to have, that he wants me to be able to have in my life. And I want to have faith in God. I want to build those things in my life. I desire your prayers.